Grace to and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Lord knows what he's doing. He commands, don't be anxious about your life. Yeah, what about your future? And your family? What about your health? I mean, look at this world filled with threats and evil of shootings and terror, war, vain politics. I mean, what of our economy and your work? You have an unrelenting barrage of things to contend with. And the gospel today ends with an amazing point. It's maybe kind of missed in our English translation. It says, sufficient for the day is its own troubles. The word there translated troubles is actually the word for evil or wickedness. This is not just your minor inconveniences and your first world complaints. Jesus commends in a plea of comfort, in strength for you as you endure, that each day has evil and wickedness. Injustices, depravities, wars, poverties, betrayals, murders, nevertheless, our Lord is the Lord of history. And the history of Israel is our history. And the best indicator of God's future behavior is his past behavior. And we often wonder why certain evils are allowed to happen. Why certain men die. Why he allows things to happen in our country and even in our lives. God help us realize evermore his promise that he will always work a greater good. I mean, that's it. Why evil? Why suffering? Why have such things ever happened in your life that he can work a greater good? Our Lord knows what he is doing. He is ever working in mercy. Do not be anxious. Do not worry. I mean, all we're doing is suffering in our imaginations, refusing to trust God and his promises. And Jesus warns us that recognize the danger, worry, anxiety, rob you of contentment, security, safety you have from your Heavenly Father. And it brings coveting, idolatry in money and things. And then comes pride, you thinking success is owed you, that you're more deserving of good things and money than others, that you're better than the sinners and the tax collectors. I mean, how easy we ruin the good gifts God gives, the joy that he gives. And all the time you spend on screens doesn't help the warning not to worry or be anxious, right? The media works to scandalize you, breaking news, existential threats, to get you to stay tuned, to click and click on stories. I mean, long gone are the morning newspaper read or Walter Cronkite, an hour of real news reporting. Now you're in a 24-hour cycle that works to keep you traumatized. They do. They manipulate you far more than you realize. It works well. You'll do well to cut your screen time in half. Anxiety is a terrible thing. And there is an answer. I mean, look around you. Our culture, your neighbors, are the most depressed, lost, suicidal, lonely, isolated, confused generation in history. Especially among the young. No one is immune, even Christian. Even you. But there's an answer. A perfect solution to the problem of mankind. And industries are built to try to fix this. And most people turn inward to solve anxiety. I mean, we're all tempted to look to ourselves or things to overcome anxiety. And whether through drugs or alcohol, escape of entertainment and games, but by depending on money. Now, how often do you think that if there's enough money or possessions, it could fix everything? I mean, that's indeed the sin of idolatry. And Satan and his minions work to manipulate this world, people, more than you realize. Anxiety is a terrible thing, and the eternal answer A perfect solution is Christ, his word. And Jesus hammers us all. Oh, you of little faith. Yes, our faith is weak. We trust ourselves. We cling to things of this world and pleasures to satisfy, which never can. Repent. You of little faith. A gentle rebuke, but more an invitation. An invitation to strengthen faith. As Paul writes, faith comes by hearing, hearing through the word of Christ. How you deal with anxiety, listen to Jesus. His living, active word, preached to you, pray it, speak it, learn it, think it, be shaped by this word. Truly therapeutic in a supernatural, divine way. Jesus tells us, look around. Notice the good in creation with its beauty. Consider lilies. I mean, these lilies are in a garden. These are wildflowers on the hills of Jerusalem. I mean, the closest correspondence to this in our world may be dandelions. I mean, nobody plants them, no one works for the field, but all of a sudden, there they are. You know, moments in life, by God's grace, we're struck. We recognize God cares about beauty. He gives goodness in this world even more. What are you worth to him than dandelions and birds that he won't take care of you? And when our Lord directed the attention of his disciples to sparrows, lilies, I mean, you consider how much worse for them. I mean, they live in an occupied country, they're poor. Imagine not having anything to eat. I don't mean not wanting to eat the can of cream corn or tomato soup in your cupboard. I mean not having a cupboard. Most people not living past the age of 50. Half your children will die by age 5. And Romans may drag your teenage sons off to fight their wars. In the midst, Jesus says, do not worry. I take care of sparrows. I'll take care of you. About then, what shall we worry? Nothing. For all else pales next to this reality that God loves you in Christ. He promises to remove you from the shadowy valley of pain and tears and bring you to himself in heaven. So what if the economy worsens? I mean, sure, your family has problems. So be it, your body is not as good as it used to be and you can't fit into your wedding dress or there's no good news out there. God knows what he is doing. He knows what you need. Knows what you don't need. All that truly matters is that Jesus died and rose and reigns, and you are his. And you have a father who works for your good. Do not worry about your past. It's forgiven. Satan tries to haunt you with your past. Christ left nothing unpaid. And do not worry about your future, what may go wrong. He will take care of that as well. Lord, comfort you with a promise. Your heavenly Father knows you need them, all these things. Our Lord bids you seek first his kingdom, his righteousness. It alone satisfies, endures forever. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's a call to faith as you strive to live Christian. And certainly, Jesus is not dismissing that you do not bear burdens and you do not bear crosses. But where you find an answer to them all. And God has given you your church, your spouse, your family, your community, your country. I mean, he could have given these things to other people, but he gave them to you on purpose in this time, that you would be stewards of this. I mean, they're not perfect, but you have a duty. Live right now in the grace that God gives. Forgiveness of sins. A good baptismal life that you have to live. Pay attention to the things in front of you. Something is better than nothing. The perfect is not the enemy of the good. And so do not give in to despair. Do not give in to outrage culture. Do not live as the world lives. For you know where that leads. You can confront evil. Stand up against evil. For he is with you. What can man do to you? What will you eat? What will you drink? What will you wear? You know. You eat and drink of him from this altar. You wear his robe of righteousness. You can't add a single hour to your life, but yours is a life that will not end ever. I mean, everything in this world that you have and that you treasure will eventually belong to someone else or be in a landfill, fail you, fall apart, break down, leave you, and die. He will not. In his great love, he's given you gifts to cling to that can never be taken away. And you are safe forever. So for now, in this troubled, evil day, come with our Lord's words of comfort. Consider flowers, birds. Your Father has placed immeasurable value on your life. You're so precious to him. He knows, works what you need. All things of his kingdom are yours. In the name of Jesus, amen.